Please rise. Our text for this morning is a portion of the epistle lesson, which I'll read again for our hearing. Romans chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Dear friends, this is our text for this morning, the theme: Your Lord Jesus gives you peace. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, through faith in Jesus, you have peace with your Father in heaven. But wait a minute. There is conflict, there's disputes, there's quarrels, there's disagreements, there is tensions. All these are a normal part of our life here on this earth. They are a part of our life here in this fallen world. They are near, and as soon as you leave worship today, they, or should I say, you and I, will find them. I don't think I have to describe to you all the sufferings that you have been through or are going through now. You face them each and every day. You know them oh so well. You also know that all this conflict, all of this suffering, actually lies much, much deeper in our hearts. The real problem is sin. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, man declared war on God. Man is at war with God, who is perfectly holy, by the way. God is perfectly above sin. He perfectly is unable to be in the presence of sin or to tolerate those who are sinful to be in his presence. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that God does not tolerate sin or anything that is sinful. And if it is in his presence, it will die. So all of this pain and all of this hurt and all of this strife takes place in our world and in your relationships, and they all trace directly back to the Garden of Eden and to that question which was posed to Eve and to Adam. Did God really say? There is no place on earth, dear one, that is in more desperate need of peace than your heart and my heart. Therefore, what your holy triune God has to say to you this morning is very important and very powerful for you. Today, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, your God holds again before your eyes the atoning, redemptive work of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He reminds you that of the everlasting blessings that Jesus has won for you here upon his cross. There is no place on earth, there is no place on earth where you will hear about this except in his word. In particular, the truth of God's word and what he has done for you, we must always remember. We must always remember and even believe today that your Lord gives you peace, and that peace happened right here. In his letter to the Romans, Paul wastes no time whatsoever in getting to the heart of the Christian faith. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul delivers an airtight case that all people, no matter who you are, where you're from, what you look like, have fallen short of the glory of God. That includes you, and it certainly includes me. That all people have followed the example of their first parents, Adam and Eve, and have disobeyed the commands of their loving God. Paul proves beyond a shadow of the doubt that every man, woman, and child is guilty, deserving of everlasting condemnation and separation from their Savior, from their Creator, forever and ever. And my dearest brother and sister, as much as it hurts us to do and to admit so, we would do well to remember today that what Paul is saying here in the opening chapters of Romans is true. It is true of you, it is true of me, and it is true of the world. Just think of all the ways that you and I have fallen short of the glory of God. A God who is holy and a God who is just. Since the last time you were here in God's presence, think of all the ways that you have shown that other things are more important to you rather than hearing or reading or learning God's word. Of all the times that you let self-love interfere with the love of God and love of neighbor. Of all the times that you have sinned, whether in thought, word, or deed, this is true. You know it's true. I know it's true. You and I came into this world with a sinful nature that makes us enemies of a holy and just God, hostile to Him, to His commands, and to His holy word. Despite our best efforts, old Adam daily rears his ugly head, his selfishness, his lack of love, and his arrogance. You and I must confess, dearly beloved, that we are guilty in the sight of a holy and just God. To be boldly honest with each of you, you and I have no right to expect peace between God and ourselves. The only thing that we have a right to expect from Him is His righteousness, His righteous wrath, His righteous judgment, and His righteous punishment, now and in eternity. But my dear brother and sister, take heart, stand firm. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Dearest one, you have been justified. You have been declared not guilty. Yes, we have certainly followed our first parents. We have followed their pattern. We rebelled against our Creator, yes. We have fallen short of the glory of God, no doubt. Yes, we sin daily and much in thought, word, and deed. Even so, now, because of what Jesus and of His great work that He has done for you here on His cross, you have been declared not guilty by your Father in heaven. Your sin has been paid for. You have been purchased back, redeemed, atoned for by your Savior as He bled and died on His cross. Because of what Jesus has done for you and me, we are no longer God's enemies. When He looks at us, when your Father in heaven looks at us, He is looking at us through His Son, and He no longer sees our rebellion. He no longer sees our transgressions. He no longer sees our sins. Now by faith, our Father who is in heaven sees His Son's perfection. And He sees that perfection in you. Now when your father looks at you, he now sees a beloved son. He sees a beloved daughter. Because of what Jesus has done, we can now lay our heads on our pillows at night and wake up the next morning knowing that beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are at peace with God. The war is over. The victory has been won because the valiant one, your Lord and Savior, took the field for you and has vanquished sin, death, and devil. He has done this for you. Glory be to Jesus. And this is what we boast in. This is what we have hope in, that Jesus has won for us the glory of God. But my brother and sister, there's more. It would be wrong just to stop there. That peace which Jesus has won for you, that peace which is yours through faith in Him and Him alone, is that faith that you have in His atoning work by means of your daily living. Paul writes more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into your hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The word hope means far more than what it usually means to the world. It's not hope in the way that I might say, I hope it won't snow tomorrow, although it did last night. Or I could go this far, and I could say, I hope the Cubs win the World Series again. But I know that last one probably won't happen. But I can still hope, right? No, that's not the hope that God is talking about. And that's not the hope that Paul is writing about. We can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, the glory that has been won in our Lord and what He has done for us upon His cross. Our salvation has been won for us. Our salvation right now is now. It's right now. That is our hope. We are confident. We have this blessed assurance that no matter what happens in this world, including COVID-19, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. That is our hope. That is our blessed assurance. God has forgiven us of our sins. So the next time you find yourself driving to work angry or upset with your husband or wife, the next time you're grinding your teeth at your co-workers or your students, or at your children and their never-ending bickering, the next time you're weary of all the battles that rage around you and in your heart between old Adam and new Adam, when you're tired of the struggle and you just want to throw your hands up and say, I give up, Lord, remember. Always remember what Jesus has done for you. His suffering does not even compare to the suffering that you are enduring now, for He suffered the full wrath, the full weight of His Father's wrath for you, for me. What your Lord did here upon His cross alone brings peace, peace to our sinful hearts, so that we so desperately need, dear one. And Jesus' work upon His cross brings you hope. Hope for here and for hereafter. This is God's peace, that all your sin, each and every one, all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.